I can feel it. Today, we're going to spin some heads. We're going to rally together with all of the recap, analysis, opinions, and objectives for round number four last night. It is a Monday fun day. The work week is back. And our superstar analysts are back on the cinch stage. No Spin Rodeo Rally, Tommy Joe Lucia, Kendra Santos.
Good Monday morning. I would like to call it personal narrative. Personal narrative is what we have. Just our opinions. Hey, happy Monday. It's December 8th. It's 2025. We are at the East Entrance here at the Cowboy Commons. If you haven't figured that out yet, people, that's the place to come into this place. We're at the Cinch stage. Thank you, Cinch, for giving us all this gorgeous stage. Good morning. Good morning, Kendra.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
It all kicks off with the oat deal today, right?
Yeah, the Oat Berries Junior Steer Wrestling World Championship Tour welcome reception and back number ceremony is where I'm going straight to Grandview Lounge, 1 o'clock at the South Point today.
Is that invite only or can anybody come?
Everybody's welcome. And it's really pretty cool. And he wears his Pimp Daddy Elvis jacket every year, so.
Oat, the name Oat and Pimp Daddy just don't go together, but that's okay. So we're going to, at the top of the show, we want to do our Pro Fantasy Rodeo round recap. And so let's take a look at how people are doing in the daily game. Remember, everybody, on Pro Fantasy Rodeo, there's the big game. I say this every day. You're in that. You're in the middle of it. But you can play daily games. They pay out 10. Wow. We okay over there? Okay? Too many bean burritos last night? Thanks, Garrett. Nothing like having an announcer on the mixer. So back to what I was saying, $10,000 a day gets paid out. Go play daily because you can literally look at the trends, look at the draw, look at the stuff. You can actually play daily and you save $5 if you have a big team. So go to profantasyrodeo.com, profantasyrodeo.com and be a part of that. At the top of this, let's take a look at who won round two. Oh. Okay, it's coming. Well, let's take a look at how we're doing in the tattoo league, Kendra. So we're in a celebrity tattoo league, which what that means is the celebrities give to the winner's charity gets money. The loser, the last place person, the winner gets to decide what tattoo gets inked on them. And so current standings, Kendra Santos's team is in 15th out of 21. I'm 22nd, which, by the way, means I'm getting a tattoo if it ended today. And the only guy that's close enough to me to maybe get ink is Flint Rasmussen, who, listen, I think Flint needs a tattoo way worse than I do. I am last. Currently, if this ended today, John Harrison would decide what kind of tattoo I got, which would be perfect for me because I could... John would be the right kind of guy. I think I could get something. So let's take a look at the round two. After round four, this is the big game. This is the one where you play all 10. Justified Z, Cameron Fambro has won. His team has $653,000 in earnings. Tommy Joe's has about 120. Just a terrible year for me. Just a terrible. And then the nightly game. This is where you can play nightly. The winner is let's go back to that nightly one that said, oh, this is the nightly. So WSJ won that team for last night. Their team that they put together had a total earnings of $266,000, $436 on that. And they got paid $3,500. So play Pro Fantasy Rodeo, play the daily game if you're playing the big game. And now our Pro Fantasy recap as it relates to what actually happened in the Thomas and Mack.
Well, the kickoff was, you know, the somber memorial night, and boy, there were a lot of people up on that screen.
You know what? You know what's terrible? Not terrible, but because I'm getting older, because I remember a time when I didn't really know so many people intimately.
Right.
And I'm sitting there last night, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Right?
The Survey Potter Roddy trifecta, they don't make people like that anymore. And then the last one up there was the Super Looper Roy Cooper. And you know, the one thing I'll say, you know, Mike Serby, Mel Potter, and Jack Roddy, they got to live out a full amazing lives. And I just felt like Roy wasn't done yet, you know, and we hadn't had enough.
Neither was Bobby Kerr.
Absolutely true. You know, and so that's always a tough one. Let's just go to the bareback riding. I did think it was funny that one of the TV breaks, you know, how they'll do a kiss cam and a dance cam and all that. And last night they did a celebrity lookalike cam and they used Trevor Brazil. I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I'll say if you click on the live feed, which I do, if you're not in the building, there is a lot of shots of the audience. If you watch that thing, it's
your choice.
Give me a hot iron
live feed, right?
Yeah, give me a hot iron and insert it into something because, oh my word, they did more crowd. I mean, I understand some crowd shots, but there is a lot.
Okay.
Of crowd shots.
So you're saying if you're on Cowboy Channel app, you have the choice between the arena feed and the live feed, and you get two different things.
Correct. Yeah, okay. You can watch the regular broadcast. And you also, on the arena feed, you don't get as many camera angles. It seems like they use the high camera on everything. But anyway, keep going.
So big picture stuff is that Wacy Schala and Stetson Wright both won a round, so it was kind of a wash in the all-around race. But Wacy Schala won the bareback riding. He was supposed to be second out. And then all of a sudden, like, he doesn't go. And we're like, what's going on here? And then he rides at the end. The horse had broken his rigging in the chute. So Brett Franks, NFR bronc rider of days past, tosses him Cole Franks' rigging. Wacy uses it and wins the round.
Isn't that interesting? Because you would think that the rigging would kind of be like,
very personalized.
Very personalized, especially where it sits.
Okay, so Tucker Allen and Will Loomis. So Will Loomis came in, you know, the front runner. Tucker also won. What did he win, the first or second round? Second round, because then his truck got stolen. My point here is that Tucker has probably won enough now to buy a new truck. Because his truck has not been returned.
That's a great way to look at it.
The team roping. And this is live by the sword, die by the sword. After going 0-3, our reigning world champions, T. Wade and Wesley Thorpe, split the round last night with Dustin Agusquiza and Levi Lord. I've been having fun watching Wesley and Colby Payne. Colby Payne has this year's Horse of the Year Coon. He also now owns Patrick Smith's 3-time Horse of the Year Turbo. And Wesley and Colby have kind of been playing musical horses this week. And so it's been fun. Like, there was one night that, I'm just going to say it, Wesley got his nuts racked, okay, by Coon. And so he won the round on Turbo last night. It's all about getting your, when it's this fast and this tight, you know, getting the mixture right. So anyway, also a very generous offer by Colby Payne. And the team, what are we?
You're on bronc riding, sister.
No, I know, but I'm going back because I had one other thing.
Driggers and Kay.
No.
Junior, what, no time. That's a big deal.
Driggers missed last night. But what I was going to mention is that Dustin and his wife are expecting their first baby, a baby boy, any day now. And so she's home. She couldn't come. So anyway, you know, she couldn't be on the buckle stage last night, but that's the most exciting thing in their whole wide world. So, and by the way, T. Wade said after it was over, anytime you can tie the fastest header there is in the whole wide world, this is a good night. So he was talking about Dustin. So that's a pretty, pretty tall compliment. Okay. The bronc riding, Stetson Wright in the rank pen, first out. To be first out and win the round is pretty spectacular. We'll be talking with our guest, who also was on that stage last night with Calgary Stampede's Freedom Express, was the horse of the night. Stetson walked onto the stage at the South Point to get his buckle with a redhead, a Winona Judd. And she She said, I'm just glad he knows who I am. I guess she tracked down his phone number, and then she was so impressed.
Winona
that,
did?
Yes, that she tracked down his phone number. She was kind of fangirl and old Superman, and she kind of did a little, she was doing a little cougar-like action on that stage. And
Winona does look a little cougarish to me.
She was also,
come here, little like, boy.
She gave him a big compliment. She said, you know, kids these days, I think she said she's 61 years old, and she said, for a young man, you know, young superstar, to immediately text me back with yes ma'am, she said, I'm very, you know, impressed by his manners. So that was cool.
Before you leave the bronc riding, comment from me. The victory lap horses are a dumpster fire.
Oh.
Okay. That's just, there you go. Stetson now with 200 grand won, right? Putting him at 736. That's a big deal. 200 grand, right? At least so far. So keep going.
It's absolutely outstanding. So in the tie down, Kincaid Henry and his old roan Mario were 7-1. They won the round. And I feel like, what was there? There was a jerk down that got overturned, but then the calf got up.
Let's cover that a little bit in case people didn't know what happened. Joel's calf, he got flagged for the jerk down and the calf kicked free, right? So he got a no time because the calf kicked free. But under review, when they reviewed the jerk down, the review judges overruled it. So he did not get a jerk down fine. Because that would have been a big deal. He still would have got a no score, but he would have had one fine on his record. And remember how it works? So he doesn't have that. So they overruled that jerk down.
Right. Okay, so Trisha Aldridge and her winningest futurity stud of all time in the barrel race, Adios Pantalones, 13:42 is the fastest time we've seen so far here this year. And I got, you know, I get a kick out of her because...
Is she the one that Fallon dresses?
Fallon dresses her. She did get a fine a couple days ago for wearing shoes. I don't know what that was.
And I got clarification. It was because she wasn't wearing boots.
Okay. So, however, I'm certain that she doesn't care about that. But she, you know, she wears a hat that kind of looks like the sky with blue sky and clouds on it and stuff. And she said last night, well,
I thought she hit a seagull coming down the
alley. She said, finally, you know, maybe people finally stop accusing me after getting this round win of dumping bleach on my hat by accident or something like that. But anyway, she has zero give a damn what anybody else thinks and speaks her mind. So,
and that horse is, I say this again, that horse is just gorgeous.
Like, absolutely,
I mean,
beautiful.
Just stunning to me.
And Haley Kinzel got on her mare Spider, so she was not on Sister last night. And again, Haley's management of that horse, it just looks so different when it's not Sister, you know, but she will do anything to protect that horse and do, you know, she was kind of bottom of the ground. And anyway.
And you can see that the ground was, it got a little deeper, but it didn't give. Right.
Right.
And there were,
everybody stood up.
The insider said, par 13, I don't know, 13 par under 13, you know, second runs, good night on the ground.
Right.
Cassie Mowry leading the average with a 54.92. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know what? People take it for granted. There are a couple people that I would mention, you know, on the horsewomen thing. Cassie Mowry, she rides so quiet. She's kind of like Jim Sharp on a bull. Like, people don't really notice, but like, you have to be pretty handy to go around that first barrel on that big, strong, stout monster of a horse named Will with two hands, and you don't even look, you don't deal with the saddle horn. You don't need it. Like, those girls, you know, Haley and Cassie and they're Emily, they're tiny, but they're so strong pound for pound. It reminds me of Ty Murray. He used to say, I don't want to get bulky, but I want to be strong pound for pound. Those girls are strong, but they're also, I mean, that is handy. That's why she's won $8 million, right? But she didn't need the saddle horn. Bryce Jensen won the bull riding last night, and I'm
rookie of that group to win a round, right?
Cool enough. And I'm trying to remember if he was one of the ones that was on the rookie hazing.
I don't think so. Maybe. Did he have the beer cans taped to his hand? I don't remember.
Not certain. And if he did, I don't know if he decided to drink in cold before the ride or warm after the ride. But I was going to mention that Shad Mayfield struck again for a good check last night. He's the leader of the Top Gun right now, and that's for whoever wins the most in a single event here. He's won over 120 grand in a single event. And then, of course, Stetson with 221 is the overall, you know, money winner. But Shad, I stopped and wrote something this morning about every detail I think is so cool, but why Shad picked Junior Nogueira to be in his corner every night. Because I think nobody really notices that. But let's get our guest up here, because when we're talking about...
I have two things. Missing the grand entry and the guys coming out in states. I just want to do an update here. Currently, Texans have 9 go-round wins. Second place is Utah, because I hear a lot of verbiage about Montana. But Texas is still right now with the most go-round wins. I thought that was cool. And also it should be noted that Shala's win, he's still only 86 grand behind Stetson in the all-around. So that's...
He's a stud. And you know what?
Still a deal.
Stetson was like, Wacy and I are having a slugfest, and I wouldn't have it any other way. This is the first time he's really been challenged, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and
four of the top 15 breaking the barrier in the Bulldoggin was a lot. Like, these are standout things to me. You know, that was a killer to watch, you know, especially Wags. He's on my teams. Good.
Well, he's going to be that close, but he'd rather, you know, what a win or die trying kind of an attitude, you know, and, yeah, there are still some people here. It's you know, we're getting to the halfway mark, but there are still some people here who haven't won a dime, and I have a heart for them and hope they can turn it around.
Okay, so we're going to bring up our guests now. We try to bring up interesting perspectives on everything we do. So please welcome to the stage Mr. Tyler Kraft. We'll give you his credentials when he comes on up. I want to thank him for being with us today. Do you want to credential him, Kendra, since you're kind of the journalist in the
sure.
in the room?
He's not going to be he doesn't brag about himself, but I will. He is a three-time, the last 3 years he's been an NFR pickup man. And the Neutrina Pickup Horse of the Year presented by AQHA has only been around for 3 years. And this guy has cornered the market. In 2023, it was Baby. Last year, it was Tuffy. This year, it's Baby. So that's a trifecta. That's a, you know, clean.
He's a horseman. That.
And also,
sure.
Calgary Stampede Ranch and Stock Operations Manager is a big undertaking, because how big is that ranch?
The ranch is 22,000 acres.
22,000 acres.
A small spread.
Yeah. And you've been doing that since you were in your 20s, right?
Yeah, I started a day handed there when I was in my late teens, 18, 19, 20, and then I got offered a full-time job when I was 23 and been there ever since. So
16 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That is super cool. Take us quickly. I'll start. Morning at the ranch on an off time. How does it start in the morning? And give us some of the inside stuff that you don't think anybody cares about. Is it coffee and a meeting? What is it?
Yeah, I got a guy that's worked at the ranch for the last 13 years, and he handles everything when we're away and does a great job with it. But when I am home, we got things planned. It's not halter breaking. We process all the horses. That takes a couple weeks out of every year. We trim everything, vaccinate, worm. There's 600 horses on the ranch, so there's never short looking for things to do. There's always something going on, especially when we're not rodeoing. So, but right now it's pretty darn cold up there. So just keeping everything alive. There's got about 400 on feed right now, and then about 120 out grazing. So
how long can they graze? I mean, pretty soon there's snow up to their ear balls, right?
Yeah, they're survivors. They can last quite a while. did get a little rain before it did get cold, so the grazing's a little, but we had a great growing season, so the grass is, it's poking through the snow still, so they got lots of opportunities still to do well out there, and them horses, they are tough animals, and they survive and do well out in the winter.
What kind of horses is Calgary trying to raise? Like, what foundation bloodlines do you guys have, and what, I mean, are you looking for big stout horses? What are you looking for?
I don't know. I think you can get them too big. I guess you want the athletes, the disco parties, the agent links. They're maybe I think they're just good sized horses and athletic. I think if you get them too big, they don't last as long. I guess my theory is kind of going to lunch here, because that horse that Stetson won last night is an absolute monster. He bucks like a small horse, but that's a big animal.
Now, do you, going back to feed, what do you feed them all winter? Is it a custom mix? Have you spent some time in that? No.
No, it just whole oats. And then mixed alfalfa grass hay.
Now, one other quick question, and I'll flip it back to you. You guys spend a considerable amount of time, you said halter breaking, getting these horses where they understand how to be handled, parallel to bucking. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Trying to set them up for success the best we can. So it starts right from ground zero. So we spend about a week halter breaking them, get them branded. Then they're on feed all winter as a weanling. And in the spring, scariest part of the day is, or scariest day of the year is for any horse owner, I think, is kicking a yearling out into big open spaces. So, but we try to put older tired horses in with them to get them used to them, and they'll really babysit them colts and get them, you know, hopefully don't run through the fence, but it's happened before. But if you do a good job with that, and they really tend to them older geldings, they'll follow them around. It's we got some really good horses that do a great job with that.
You don't tie them to a donkey to halter break them, right?
No, we do it off our horses. So, yeah.
Just wondering, it's a lot of donkeys.
I have a question in today's world of breeding programs. I don't care if you're talking about cutting horses or barrel horses, there are a lot of test tube babies. Do you guys just do it the old fashioned way out in the pasture?
No, there's been a lot of embryo work, actually. Some special mares, Fearless Warrior, Flavor Cherry, Zippy Delivery. You'll see their names there, like in the way that Calgary names their horses. The mare will, so for example, Freedom Express is out of Zippy Delivery daughter. So Freedom Express's mom was a embryo. So.
So does a quiet, sweet gentleman like yourself name horses Flavored Cherry?
No, that's an old horse, that one. But yeah, try to come up with Flavored or clever animal, clever name.
Flavored isn't the problem. Cherry's the problem. Okay.
The combination.
the combination is over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, if TJ Corkle was to ever get a hold of some Calgary horses, I might get it pretty out of hand.
Do you guys do any cloning?
We've never cloned anything. We got a few horses that are, it could be cloned. We got some through Viagen, but we bred two some clones. So we got a stud called General Lynx. He's a pretty cool little horse that's, he's by the Harry clone. So Greg Vanaclaus down in Canyon set us up with a few breedings to that, and the Bobby Joe stallion, and so yeah, got a few things on the go with that.
Pickup horses come off the ranch?
They live there, but they're either I've raised them or bought them as colts and got them going.
Oh, you did. So they don't, like, you don't pick horses off the ranch that you turn into.
No. Okay. No.
Since you are the man in the pickup horse world, what do you look for in a prospect?
I'm kind of after the same things as the headers, I guess. I'm looking for 15-1, 15, maybe 15-2. I think the stereo, there's a, you know, bad, not a bad stereotypical, but the, you know, this, I think pickup men, you know, riding a big 16-handed jug-headed horse that likes to run into things. I think that's a, hopefully a thing of the past, but it will show up every now and again. But I take a lot of pride, and my family take a lot of pride in the horses we ride, and we're just as much as part in the entertainment business as anybody. And so I want to ride a horse that's got a lot of presence, a lot of style, and you know, take a lot of pride in them, and want to ride the best horse that I can, and I'll never stop trying to be better and get better with my horsemanship. And
what your horses, Baby and Tuffy, you head and do other events, your kids' junior rodeo on them, right? So, in fact, you bought Baby as a 30th birthday present for Vanessa.
Yeah,
right?
That's correct. Yeah,
and she's run barrels on him.
Yeah, she's done good with him in the barrel racing, and Tuffy the same thing. They're just all around horses. We got three kids that all ride and rope and do everything. So they got to sink or swim. So them horses they got to do it all.
And you have occasionally entered heading like ropings, rodeos, what?
Yeah. I've,
on your pickup horses.
Yeah. Like I said, we do everything. I don't rope as much as I'd like to, but with getting some kids involved in it, we've been roping quite a bit. But they're it's almost a shame that I got that good of a head horse that just kind of I use as a pickup horse. So, but anyways, he gets to go to some junior rodeos.
Wasn't there something about Pinoca?
Yeah, I used him at the big arena in Pinoca the summer.
Tuffy,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I don't usually expect to get compliments from team ropers, but like a Dustin Bird, Jeremy Bueller, it was kind of like, dang, what the heck are you doing picking up on that horse and kind of a thing.
Are they saying how much?
Yeah, I don't know. They know my wife, so we don't, if my wife ever refers to horses as mine, speaking of mine, they're Tyler's horse. You don't want that horse, but when they're her horses, them are the ones they want. So
the fact that you are you're working your third straight NFR by a vote of the Bucking Horse Riders, how much does that have to do with these two pickup horses?
I think everything. There's lots of them guys. They're horsemen themselves, right? The proof's in the pudding. Them guys that
I wouldn't say a lot of them are horsemen.
No, but
in fairness,
yeah. But Zeke Thurston, them guys. There's a reason why they win. I think they're
Stetson kind of had to be one last night in the victory lap.
Absolutely, them guys are raised on horses and they know a good horse. And I think that's important. And I think there's a lot of great pickup men. But I think horse flesh, I think separates the good pickup men from the great pickup men.
I have a question about the rotation. You pickup men are allowed to bring six horses here to the NFR. How do you rotate them throughout the week?
I try to give one horse a day off every time. So we ride two in the bareback, two in the Bronx, and then rope bulls on one. So it's kind of a day off for the bull horse. But just kind of how they're feeling, I guess, what they were the perf before. I got a couple of young horses here, so I'm not wanting to put too much pressure on there. I got a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. So I'm wanting to just, it's their first time here. So I just wanted to, it's a lot. We've been here for about 10, 11 days now. And I mean, with an airplane going over top of them every 2 minutes. And,
The Thomas and Mac, it's right by the airport. So I can so feel him right now. If you're out there, it feels like about every 30 seconds, everything in your body that's loose and hanging rattles when they go over land. And so it's real. It's for real. Now, on pickup men, just for some of our listeners, you know, we say pickup men, we take this stuff for granted. These are the two guys that are out there that assist the rough stock horse riders and dismounting, and they have a whole host of other things that they do during the course of a performance. So I have some specific questions for you. One is, you got 15 head. They always break. A lot of you don't know that, but they switch horses. So production knows when these guys want to switch horses. They ride out. They have horses standing there. They get on their second horse and ride in. That's why he said two. But you got 15 head. That's a pretty good load of discipline compared to what you do in the year, correct?
Yeah,
you got 7 to 8 each horse has to deal with, right?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it'd be, you're going, you're not, all out, but they're in the bareback riding. Yeah, you're like here, and then them guys, some guys get their hand out quick. Some other guys, even though you make two and a half laps, do that 7-8 times, and you're ready to switch horses.
You ever want to grab them by the ear and just yank them off? Don't answer that. I already know the answer.
Yeah.
So that leads to my next question that I think is going to be fun. Now, you're going to have to think about this a little bit. I've seen some wrecks with pickup men and stuff. Any chance you can take us through the most dare, you know what I mean, a wreck or a situation in your past and unfold it? Because I don't think people understand how savvy these guys have to be. If you're like us and in the business, you can tell in about the first horse what your pickup men can do. And they're also leading these horses for, I mean, there's, you got stock contractors probably pointing at you and all of that stuff. But take us through a wreck. I think that would be cool, or if you're cool with that, or because even these big pastures that you pick up in, right, and the differences of that, I think that will be interesting to our fans.
Yeah, I have a couple scenarios, I guess, come to mind. I'll start with first year I picked up at Pendleton. It rained. I don't know what the heck. I don't even think it matters how much it rained. It was as. I didn't personally have any wrecks or anything like that, but I'll tell you what, you're going into Pendleton for the first time, and let alone on basically a sheet of ice on that grass, like it, and just I don't know, it's something I'll never
pucker up.
Yeah, it's something I'll never forget.
Do you put ice nails on the pickup horse?
I don't. I think every other pickup man does.
And you skate.
And I skate.
They're big people.
Is it an injury prevention thing that you don't? What's your reason?
Yeah.
Because the traction in a turn, there's no.
Yeah, I think Gary Imple, he never did it, and spent a lot of time with Gary, and we talked about it, and it was just if you're gonna be a dummy and want to race around there, and it will take advantage.
So it's kind of like drifting, right? Yes, you see the corner, and you know you're gonna slide so far.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Like even picking up a bronc at in that rain, that first perf or whatever, and kind of dallied off, and some of them horses are a little, they're kind of on the muscle and wanting to move on, and it was like kind of want to throttle my horse down a little, just to throttle him down. We're going around a corner, and it's like you throttle my horse down just to, and you can kind of feel him, and he kind of goes to set a little bit, and we just kind of and it's like, okay, no, we'll keep going then, right? And so, not that it was a wreck or anything like that, but that was just one of them times that it was a memorable, like,
that's cool.
Just not only the first time at Pendleton, but just the sheer scariness. But back to the wreck question, there's a kid that I just actually, he's hired onto the ranch here a few weeks ago, but about 5 or 6, 7 years ago, it could have been time.
He's grinning. I like this. He's grinning a little bit.
Wanted to ride bareback horses. And so he went to a Jake Vold bareback riding school. And I was picking up there and had horses there and whatnot. So his name's Ty. He gets on 3 or 4 head and had a great day just learning. And it was couldn't have been a better day. And they asked him if he wants one more. Oh shoot, yeah, I'm kind of tired, but I'll get on one more. So he gets on this horse, and anyways, this horse is kind of just a nice beginner type of horse, and Ty gets he's been on 4 or 5 head, and he gets gassed and ends up getting on the end of his arm and gets whipped down, and he went over, and then the rigging, or his hand went around the rigging, and he fell off the other side, and it dislocated his wrist, and got a rope on him, got 2 ropes on him, and just the panic you could feel in him looking at down and seeing, all you could see was that white tendon was hanging, was the only thing that was keeping his wrist on.
Hi-ya!
Blood shooting like on us, and yeah, like it was the most gut-wrenching thing that I've ever been a part of, as far as watching it, and just you're trying to do everything you can, and the only thing that's going to get him back over there, and it was getting him back over, but it was twisted and on the neck, and yeah, it was just.
But the number one thing is to shut the horse down.
Right? Get it stopped. Yeah,
get it stopped.
Yeah. So, yeah.
To get it stopped, but like you being a picket man, but also the protector of the highest end bucking horses in the world, there's a line there, right? Like, you need to get it stopped, but you don't want to choke the horse down or take it, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a tricky.
At that part, I guess I was. I was just doing whatever it was trying to. You know, the last thing I wanted to see is watch that hand paw, the tendon break, and
right.
Yeah,
that's a good question. As a stock contractor, when a guy hangs up to a bareback horse, have you ever seen it change the bareback horse permanently?
Yeah. I think there's been a lot of horse, or not a lot of horse. They don't hang up very often, but I think if you're engaged enough, and like a kid at the Canadian Finals a few years hung up to Virgil, and to try to get that train stopped.
Oh.
You didn't just want to sit there and choke, or like you didn't want just him to hang on the end of the rope. So you got it stopped, but you were still I was still trying to keep a little momentum. And I think if they come off and they're gassed, I think taking that momentum away, just coming to a complete stop, I don't think that helps anything either. So we just kind of walked along, and then the bullfighters and everybody
let him keep forward motion, so he's content.
He's not running off, and if we need to come to a stop, I can, but I'm not gonna sit there and just you know, be like a Hereford bull on the end of it trying to load him in a trailer. I'm not just gonna stand there and choke the bugger till his eyes pop out, right? You want to read the situation and understand that he can still kind of carry on the momentum.
Reading the situation, I feel like pickup man, bullfighters, hazers, like reading the play at high speed in real time is the gift that the greatest ones have, right? I mean, you guys prevent more wrecks. All three of those kind of guys prevent more wrecks just seeing, you see it coming and you shoot the gap, right? I mean, that happens all the time. And the thing about these guys, the picket men, bullfighters, hazers, no one talks, no one even notices you're out there unless something goes south, right? But the bucking horse riders, they know.
Yes, yeah. Like you guys talked about Wacy Shelley using a different rigging last night or whatever. So I knew that, and it was like you knew something potentially could happen. He could get blowed out the back. He could anything, right? So you were on. On point there, and trying to get there, get the flank tripped, and that horse still kind of wanted to buck even without the flank on him. And all of a sudden, you kind of gaze down, and you can see that he's out, and he's not wanting to be out, but he's completely out and hanging on by the fingertips. And I got him picked up, and it wasn't pretty by any means, but it was kind of one of them panic situations that you're wanting to want to be there for him regardless.
Are you guys talking to each other in the heat of the moment like that?
Lots of them guys they communicate. Jess Pope, maybe
a little
too much.
Do you yell? Because I think if you have your normal tone, they probably don't hear you as you're flying around the Thomas and Mack.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy, I'm right here. Yeah. Jump off.
Yeah. Yeah. Jess Pope usually has some smart aleck comment, I guess. And yeah, I'd like to push him off, actually.
Do they ever goose you or something just to get your goat? I mean, try to tickle you or grab you under the armpit? Or
Pope stole my hat at the American this year.
Hey, now, isn't it true that those bucking horses will bite the living tar out of you? Is that fair? Because I've heard pickup and say, "Oh, how many times I've been bit." Is that a reality, or is that just?
There's a few of them that have, but like Calgary doesn't. I know we don't have.
So that's just a pickup man story at the bar when you don't have a back number and you want to cut.
Is it interesting from your perspective when like some of those guys like a Dawson Hay? He almost always just jumps off, and he's still got the rope in his hand. Are you like often playing dodgeball, like trying to not muck him out?
Yeah, you're expecting that with him, right? You hang back because unless the horse is going to just flat be done bucking, and he doesn't have enough momentum to get his butt out of the saddle. But honestly, I'll speak for every pickup man that I would rather him just jump off because he is. I would say top three worst guys to get off on you. He is like a badger, and he will scratch, bite, tear, knock your hat off, rip your shirt. He is absolutely horrendous.
Let me get a hold of your nipple here. I got to get off.
Yeah.
What about the bucking horse protocol for this EHV1 this year at the NFR? Has it, for the bucking horses, I noticed that instead of just being open panels on the tunnel that everybody comes in and out of, there are black tarps.
Yeah, no, I think them have been there, I think, before.
I don't remember those beavers. But
that helps them. That keeps the daylight. That keeps them heading down. I think those have been there before.
Yeah.
I don't remember that because I feel like I could always see them so clearly. But what has been new protocol this year?
I don't think they were ever planning for it, but we've always vaccinated our traveling horses for years and years and years, but they made it mandatory for all horses coming onto the park. So that was just a kind of a godsend that was always taking precaution for it. We had to do a few health papers as per everybody. Tempt our horses before we left, and the bucking horses.
And they couldn't get off the truck. You couldn't unload them. How long a trip was that?
No, we were able to unload them.
You were.
Yeah. I think. I want to say the people may be coming from Texas.
Only from a certain area you couldn't unload them?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
To me, the way I was looking at it, it's like the bucking horses weren't exposed. So to me, I'm looking at you guys with gold on four legs, you know, you being the ones, you know, that I would be sort of like, well, I don't want, you know, a team roping horse cough going out the alley or something like that. I was kind of concerned, and maybe you guys have better immunity in bucking horses because they're out. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think, you know, I think that's, you know, possibly, but I don't know that for any fact by any means, but I don't think we wouldn't, I mean, it's terrible, everything like that, but we're not doing anything different than normally. You know, it's not like we would ever go out and about to any rodeo and then just go back and kick the whole herd. And we have biosecurity at the ranch. We would do that regardless. We're not just going to go throw them with the back to the sir. We got a pen that they're going to stay.
I remember guys that would unload right off the pot, into the pasture. There are guys that do that.
Yeah. And that's, I can't speak for what anybody else would do, but we got the resources. We're not on 10 acres or 15 acres. We got lots of space, and that's what we were going to do no matter what, whether this was a thing or not.
Brilliant.
Do you ever catch yourself getting so caught up in your front row seat down there in the arena that you are like, oh, I gotta jump in here. It must be so fun to watch from the arena, right?
Yeah. It's the best seat, best seat in the house. And, I never was that good of a bronc rider, but it's the closest I'll ever be to a 90 point bronc ride. So
we got about 5 minutes. First off, do me a favor. Tell us about your family, right? We talked about it a little bit on the horses, but I think people like to understand your family and our extended rodeo family, but your family. Tell us about your family, kids, and how, you know.
So all my kids have been born and raised on the Calgary Stampede Ranch. I got my wife, Vanessa, and she's just as much.
She's way cooler than you.
Well, that's not hard to beat, but yeah. We're in it every day. Just horses, rodeo. Three kids, 11, 10, and 8.
Oh.
They're into every darn thing you can imagine. So anything from hockey to rodeo and everything in between. It's kind of we got a lot of decisions to get made here in the next little bit. We've been at this for a long time, and it's to the point where it's going to start, you know, being a little bit more about them than they're, you know, putting rodeo front and forward. So that's just a thing that we got to work with and juggle that. So we live about an hour from any town on the Calgary Stampede Ranch, so it makes for a lot of driving. Even
taking them to hockey practice is a big deal.
It's a big deal. They practice a few times a week and then games every weekend, and so we got great grandparents and family that step in for us and help us along the way for sure. And it's a great spot to live, but it's hard on a lot of things and wears out a lot of tires and burns a lot of fuel just to make things happen.
So this is a tricky one, but think about it. Has there ever been a horse that has come into your life that just has a special place? Like just,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think, I'm a firm believer in that, or what you said there, as far as, anytime I've ever tried to like I really needed another horse, or I feel like if I ever force it, that horse or that I won't have any luck. But I feel like I don't find the horses find me, and it's just weird. Every horse that I have, it found me one way, shape, or form or another, and that's how I got it, or, you know, I think there's probably stories like that full of in rodeo, right? The Haven Midgets Black Mare off of Kijiji or whatever it was for $500, and then goes on to be one of the best horses ever, right?
The great ones all love their job, but the stewards, it's like Haley giving sister a night off last night, or, I mean, you can't, I don't know, this is super blunt, but you can't beat a horse into greatness, right? Yeah, and so that, your handling of these horses, and I'm imagining that it's a great asset to them to get to exhale riding on 22,000 acres. I mean, do they get a lot of wet saddle pads,
absolutely.
I'm assuming?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They brand season everything. They pick up sometimes, or pick up a lot, but they do it all. Yeah. Right.
My dad always said, sometimes a horse just needs to be a horse.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Out on the ranch, yeah. Out in the pasture, whatever. You said the other day that Baby is maybe the most traveled pickup horse ever. Saint-Tite?
Yeah, Saint-Tite, Quebec. It'd be, it's like 6 hours north of New York. And then he's been up to Palmer, Alaska. He's been as far west as Seattle or Puyallup, and he's been to Houston, Texas, so, and everywhere in between.
He's
so.
Been in a lot of time zones.
He's been in a lot of time zones, so, yeah. Huh.
Well, that's cool.
Do the pickup horses travel, I mean, somehow separately, I assume, from the bucking horses, but are all on the big...
No, I got my own truck and trailer, and either my wife has got a drive, or I drive, or just how we make it work, right?
So every rodeo you go to, you take at least two rigs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or four rigs, yeah.
Four?
Yeah, we travel, summertime we travel with 60 bucking horses. Wintertime we travel with 60 bucking horses, and so, yeah.
Holy moly. And I would assume at the ranch that your horses are like, we're the personal horses of the boss. Back off, right? I'm sure they communicate that they've got special privileges when they're there.
Are you like, I feel like, the greats, the Jake Barnes of the world, they all say they're in constant search. They're a never-ending search for the next good one. Is that how you are with your pickup horses?
Absolutely. We're trying to raise it, trying to find it, doing everything. We'll never be content with looking or trying to find or trying to make it. It's honestly my favorite part about picking up is trying to take that horse and try to go pick up on it. Like I got a 4-year-old here, got a 5-year-old here. That's what makes us tick.
How long can they last?
Long time. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do one more question each, Tim, and then we'll get into our end of the game stuff like fines and injury reports. I'll let you go first. Oh no. Well, because I'm trying to think of something compelling and better than you.
Do you ever enter jackpot team ropings? Do you ever have time?
The year of COVID, I did, yeah.
You're a header?
I'll do both, yeah.
Who's your pick in the team roping this year?
Oh, I got to go with the Graham brothers. I just hope they do good. And
wasn't it cool,
cool
that they
that
went
very
around?
Cool. That was a pretty good day for Canada. And then Colton Schmidt ties them, and that's pretty awesome.
That was a great night, yes.
Okay, you're the big boss of the Stampede Ranch. What young horse should people be paying attention to of the Calgary Stampedes that maybe right now they're not?
Oh,
I'm putting you on the spot, but
I have a tough time with that one just because I
there's not really one.
Well, there's some there, but I don't hate putting them on a pedestal because they'll make a liar out of you every time. So I'll give you one just for play along, but
and it could explosive. They change things happen. So, in fairness,
Explosive Skies, in my opinion, for whatever that's worth, is arguably the best bucking horse that's ever walked the earth. Bareback horse of the world, bareback horse of the NFR, world record holder in the bronc riding, won the world in the bronc riding, NFR, the whole nine yards. Her first foal is a 4-year-old, and we just got one rider trip on her, and she's stuffed away in a nice special. in a spot there, but she's as impressive of a filly as I've seen.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
Whose phone is? Can you guys hear that? Someone's phone's going off, and it's not mine. Someone's got an alarm. Take some medicine.
It's backstage.
Oh, is it backstage?
Okay. At the bar or something.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Let's get in. What do you got for injury report?
There were no new injuries last night, which is very cool. And, you know, the bareback riders are always exempt from the grand entry. But this year, we have, you know, two bulldoggers. We've mentioned it. But Dakota Eldridge and Stetson Jorgensen do not need any additional steps with a broken foot and a hurt knee. So no new ones last night, though. That was good news.
Do you think those two lines in the dirt are bothering horses at all?
Sure. No, it bothers me, I think, more than
Did your horses notice it? Feel it? See it?
No, my new horses really noticed that change in scoreboard going for, or like around
the arena. Oh, when the dashers change.
Every year, it can go from lime green to rant, or, you know, bright yellow or whatever. And they can, it's kind of right below their eye level, and they might jump six ways from Sunday, so.
Very interesting. All right. Every day, we give you insider trading on the fine list. That's right. The fine list. Today's fine list update is the following. Rocker Steiner got third offense for not being ready. Third offense. So remember, it doubles every time. 250, then it went 500, now 1,000. He's 1,750 into it, and I don't think he gives three flips. Here's the one that I think is interesting. J.R. Stratford. He is feather offense, right? Third time feather offense. Doesn't look like he's pulling that feather. So his third offense, $1,000. Is he going to just lock down and keep the eagle feather in his hat?
Surely he knows. Everybody says he has to know. And so obviously he has no Native American blood, apparently. I'm guessing. Or he wouldn't.
Maybe he has a card and it's not here yet, but he's got to show it.
Okay. Joe and Josh Frost joined us yesterday, and I thought it was really cool of Josh to do the math and then text it to me. So about the company, he said, the math, if a guy got the same fine every night and let
the feather fine,
any fine, same fine, rockers in the same boat right now, and let it, if they let it keep compounding all 10 rounds, night one, 250, two, night two, I'm going to rattle off what it would be in the 10 nights, 250, 500, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, 8,000, 16,000, 32,000, 64,000, and by round 10 on that night, your fine is 128 grand.
Now, you've got to add each one of those rounds together, and because we are math wizards here, that's $255,000 worth of fines for a feather. Think he's going to stick with it? Now we're all just looking at it. Like, it's like, could someone give us, in the show open tonight at Cowboy Channel, could someone give us show us his hat so we can figure out if he's in it and doing the math. So that's the fine list for this year. So looking into these rounds from your perspective, so for us, like, we're starting to get into a groove. Like, you know you're going to do this and do this because you kind of threw that first weekend. These different sets of horses, so they got the rank pins. Does that change your approach? Does it even change what horses you use out there? And if so, because we've got 5 minutes here. You don't have any other random stuff that we got to cover, do you?
No, I think this is interesting. I'd also like to ask him, like, who, what do they call them? Is it just at Pendleton where they call your wives the pickup chicks? Is that what they, no?
They do?
Marlo Ward and those guys used to do that.
The pickup chicks?
Well, my point is, who is backstage with the next horse that's coming in? Because that's got to be a quick change.
Yeah, they got Raina Hudson. She's the saddle horse boss, and she hires hired girls to help with everything. So the switch is the putting them away, walking them out, and she's got a girl named Cassidy doing it this year, and they all do an amazing job. I've never had a bad
no problem.
She's got a way of finding great help.
What kind of rope does a picket man use? Like what lay?
An extra soft in the bronc or in the bareback riding. I think I got better control with that. And then just like a 39, 38 ranch rope type of thing. I don't get too particular with.
Are you an over under guy?
I don't know. I try. I will throw some stupid loops, but sometimes it works, sometimes it don't.
That's cool. So I asked you though, when you look at these rank pins,
yeah,
the TV pins, how do you adjust your horses?
So I trial ride my best horses. Like tonight, the baby, the Tuffy, the yellow horse. I'll ride my best ones with the best horses. And then even in the eliminator pins, especially too in the bareback riding, just them are your high risks, your potential hang ups. If they're going to hang up, that's when they're going to do it, right? And so I'm wanting to be on my best horse. And then the hopper, you know, either in the hopper pin in the bronc riding or the bareback riding, that's when I'll really try to push my fours and my fives to just be a little bit more comfortable. Them guys are going to be able to get off good and stay controlled. So that's my game plan.
Are the best horses still called the TV pin?
TV pin, yes. Tonight, yeah.
Okay, and those will be out in earth.
What are they in tonight?
5th and 10, yeah.
In which
one? Everything, yeah.
Everything's TV pin?
Everything, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. That's good. So that's the nice ones. In case you didn't know, the TV pin is the ones everybody wants to get on to show up and show out, right? So who snowplows there, the roads?
Who's ever working at the ranch. So.
And what do they have? Do they have a cab that's heated?
Yeah.
Tell me they do.
Yeah. We went on where the ranch is located. There ain't a tree in sight. It's as flat as you come, and so when we do get, you know, even if we do get 4 or 5 inches of snow, the wind will howl and it'll stack it up 12 feet high.
12 feet high?
Yeah, it'll get over the windbreaks, like, in, you know, just the slightest amount of snow, but there's nothing to stop it until there's something to stop it. So our corrals and then little sets of trees or whatever, roads, once it gets over the ditch, then it starts going on the road, and once you plow once, you're plowing every day.
Do you have the love hate relationship for snow, or just hate?
I just hate it.
Do you have any time to watch any of the timed events, or no? Too busy.
Yeah, at the NFR.
Yeah.
Yep. We sit and watch him. Yep.
How do you feel about the tie down? It's a heck of a race.
Yes. Yeah. It's pretty cool. There's a lot of good races, and it's. Yeah, I.
Come on, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm a Riley Webb fan. Yeah.
That's all right.
Riley Webb's awesome, and he's an awesome kid.
He's very, very nice. Very nice guy.
Well raised.
Chad is, he's serious. Like, it'll see.
Don't think Riley's not.
No, that wasn't what I was inferring, but there does seem to be some more fire around Chad than there has been in the past. Fair? Around his aura. I mean, even his reaction that first night, right? That's not something you see him do.
Does it have any deja vu of Cody and Fred at all to anybody besides me?
That's good. I like that.
Those two fuel each other's fire. So.
Yeah, it's good. Well, we're getting close to ending it. Want to thank Tyler for joining us today, a unique perspective on rodeo. We want to welcome everybody, to encourage you to come on out and be a part of our show every morning. We want to thank all of you for listening. Thank you to Pro Fantasy Rodeo. Thank you to Lightning G for the production. Thanks to the First Lady of Pro Rodeo Journalism, always bringing you gold, Kendra Santos. Thank you to all of our families back at home, all of you that come and support the NFR. God bless all of you. And until we meet again, be safe out there. Tommy Joe Lucia, Kendra Santos, Tyler Kraft, No Spin Rodeo, Monday's edition. We'll see you tomorrow.